499 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a special Kickstarter Spotlight episode, and I'm really happy to welcome Jason Inman back to the show and his co-writer, Ashley Victoria Robinson. Welcome to the show, Ashley.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, your first time. And Jason, welcome back.
I feel like I've never left.
So we're here to talk about your new project, and before we dive into that Kickstarter, which launches today, August 12th, as you're listening to this, everybody, the previous project that I absolutely fell in love with, and so did my young daughter, was Jupiter Jet. So how has the response been now that everything is kind of said and done and the series is concluded? You're still hearing great things?
Yeah, we're very fortunate. We've gotten a really amazing critical response to Jupiter Jet. All of our reviews have been very positive, knock on wood, that everyone who reads it and continues to pick it up, because now you can get it forever, will enjoy it as much as the reviewers have.
I guess the best review that we could ever ask for is that everybody keeps asking us when Volume 2 is, and I think that why would you ask that if you hated Volume 1? So I think that's a good sign.
Yeah. We're very fortunate that it was received as well as it was.
That's awesome. You know, and personally, I will thank you too again for that book, because you know, obviously you saw how much it impacted my daughter Aspen. You know, she cosplayed as Jupiter Jet. She's going to be Jupiter Jet for Halloween this year. So
it was the very first Jupiter Jet we've ever seen in the real world, and that's amazing.
She's Instagram famous because a lot of people will be like, "I saw that little girl dressed up like Jupiter Jet." We're like, "Yeah, it was the best thing ever."
It's so funny too when just for all the listeners out there, Jace's daughter, when she dressed up as Jupiter Jet and she walked around Is it Phoenix Comic Con?
Phoenix Comic Fest. Yeah. They changed the name.
Yeah, they changed the name every day. Yeah. Phoenix Comic Fest. We actually had other professional creators come by our table and be like, "Did you see the Jupiter Jet?"
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so awesome. We were literally walking in to preview night and somebody said, "Is she Jupiter Jet?" And I was like, "Yes, she is." That's so awesome to be that people recognize her.
Hopefully the character's impact and Aspen's impact will only rocket upward.
Yeah, and you know, I'm excited about this new project because it's also something near and dear. And I don't know if you guys, and we'll talk about it. I don't know if you guys purposefully are making these comics that just appeal to kids. I think you like to tell stories.
Yes.
And they kind of transcend age. So let's talk about your new Kickstarter. What's it all about?
It's called Science with an exclamation point.
So you gotta say it
like that.
You gotta say it like Science.
Yeah, there you go. You gotta clip everybody's microphone right when you say it.
Take care about that, everybody. Wake up.
Yeah. Good morning. Please donate to our Kickstarter. It stars a 14-year-old girl named Tamsin Trecru. It's more of a middle grade story, whereas Jupiter Jet was more of an all age story. So I guess that means it's a little bit edgier in the type of storytelling. But she is attending the Prometheus Academy, which is only the best science school in the entire world. Institute. I'm so sorry. I always say Academy and Jason is so disappointed in me. The Prometheus Institute. And it's the most amazing kind of school that has cute little robots called Stats that fly around. It's got experimental physics. It's got amazing labs, but Tamsin's maybe not as happy to be there as she should be. And that's because her dead father used to be the headmaster there, and working there is what took him from her. So she's determined to, take the school down from the inside like a normal teenager would want to do.
It's Harry Potter if Harry Potter wanted to destroy Hogwarts. There you go.
Wow, that's quite the twist. So would you say that it's fair that Tamsin has a legacy of science?
Oh, 100%.
Definitely.
Her father, a lot of this book is about her relation to the legacy of her father, because her father is one of the most famous students of the Prometheus Institute of all time. And it's assumed that she is going to live up to it. Imagine being the daughter of Einstein. Everybody would constantly compare you to your dad.
Yeah, that's got to be tough. So in a way, though, that also makes it very relatable, right? Like we all, especially during that time, you know, teenage years, junior high school, so many expectations, right? Regardless of who your parents are. So I feel
100%. Yeah. And there's a lot of, in this story, a main theme of this story is, who do you trust? Because that's a big thing, especially when you are a teenager, is who do you trust? Like, do you trust what your teachers tell you? Do you trust what your parents tell you? Or do you trust what your friends tell you? And which version of that truth is truth? And it's about a teenager, a 14-year-old girl, having to choose which version of this truth is right, because she's been told that the school is bad. But then she goes to the school and she's like, hey, this school ain't bad. There's floating robots. It's pretty cool.
And she meets some really amazing people who become like a new family to her. And that kind of shifts her perspective a little bit.
Well, what is it about this story that made you want to choose it for your next project after the success of Jupiter Jet?
So Ashley and I have a very interesting process when we come up with our projects. It's usually one of us has the initial idea and then the other person adds to it. And then for Jupiter Jet, it was Ashley coming up with a name. And then I was like, girl with the jetpack. For this one, I love the Fantastic Four. And a lot of this came about when the Fantastic Four went away. We actually had this project, this idea for about 2 or 3 years now. And when the Fantastic Four went away from the Marvel Universe, they're my favorite Marvel thing ever. I said to Ashley, I was like, I really want to write a story about sort of a family like the Fantastic Four, but not quite a real family that's like all about fantastical adventures and far out there Kirby science and Steve Ditko weirdness. And Ashley was like, yeah, it should be at a school.
Yeah.
and then it kind of just went from there.
I always think things should be at a school. It's one of my many, many useful suggestions. But like with Jupiter Jet, I had the premise and Jason kind of came up with all the trappings and then we molded it into the story together. We were developing these at the same time. Jupiter Jet was just the thing that got greenlit first. So it's what became our first project. And we put science on the back burner because we didn't want to split our focus. And we wanted to make sure that we could make both projects as fully realized and as dynamic as possible.
Now, being that this is your second time around with the project, are you finding that things are easier or is it tougher because there's like expectations?
Oh, man, I wish I could say yes. Science so far might actually be a little harder than Jupiter Jet was.
Nah.
We went through a couple different artists, whereas finding our artists for Jupiter Jet was a very easy, straightforward process. So we've had a couple false starts with science before we were ready to take it to Kickstarter. We also take a lot of pride in bringing things to Kickstarter where they're at a good place, where they look interesting, they look compelling. You can tell what it is and what you're getting into. So we had initially planned to bring science there earlier, but now we're doing it in September, and that's wonderful. And we're very lucky. I feel like the things that we learned are going to help us in the process moving forward because we understand better what comes with making a comic, and we're still in the pretty early phases, the early throes of science, as it were.
Yeah, I kind of imagine that every project probably has its own unique challenges, but I would think that once you start getting into the production, at least you've been faced with those choices before. You realize that every decision is yours to make. Because I remember talking to Jason about Jupiter Jet, and he said that was one of the things that surprised him. It's like when you're writing for somebody else and it's not creator owned, they make a lot of those decisions for you. You have an editor and a publisher that make all the decisions. But when it comes to doing your own Kickstarter, your self publishing, every decision is on you.
Absolutely. And that's what we're very fortunate in being co-writers, is we can kind of act as each other's editors and each other's spot checks. So even though we are on our own, a little floating in space, as it were, we have each other to sort of keep it grounded and hopefully not get too out of control with things that are too good or too bad, I guess.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. I wonder, we mentioned science and this fantastical school. You mentioned flying robots. So obviously we're going a little beyond the real world. But was there a lot of research done that you guys had to do as far as trying to mix in some realistic science, some hard science? I mean, shows like Expanse and such are doing so well with that concept of hard science. Is that something you're trying to put in the book as well?
Yes, very much so. It's actually an idea from our publisher, Hope Nicholson, the Eisner nominated Bedside Press runner, editor. What do you call her? Editor in chief?
Lady and owner?
Awesome lady.
Publisher
at the top.
Is her official title.
Publisher, awesome lady at the top.
Yeah, yeah.
She actually suggested that because we were going to go hardcore sci-fi and all this stuff. And then she suggested, well, you know, I think you guys should like layer in some real science. So because of that, that's where the floating robots came from. And they're called STATS. And I forget what the anagram means, even though we created this anagram.
It stands for Science and Technological Assistant Teacher.
There you go. Ashley's good for something. There you go.
I'm good for something. They all have different numbers.
Yes, there's multiple of them. They'll pop in several times, and they're very inspired by Skeets and Herbie. But they will interrupt the story at several times to comment on the actual science that is happening in the... So our kids, basically how the story will kind of work is that our kids will do the fantastical science that is not possible. And then the stats will talk directly to the audience and be like, well, actually, that's BS. And this is the real science. And imagine all the stats having the voice and the tone of Alfred Pennyworth, where they're always like talking down to the kids because they're just like... and you can see that in our preview pages on the Kickstarter project where we show you the first stat fact, as we're calling it. And it's all about our character, AJ, who's obsessed with rockets. Who's like, I'm going to build rocket boots. And he combines this new rocket fuel. And the rocket fuel that we have him use is the actual rocket fuel that NASA uses. And
fun fact, Jason and I are not scientists.
Yep.
So we had to do a lot of actual scientific research, which is great. And it's really cool that we're learning as we're making this book.
I think I read a couple NASA manuals. I'm not even joking to figure that out. But anyways,
we got a friend at JPL. We could tap him.
Yeah, but we have stats saying that like, oh, he's combining these ratios of these different liquids. Da, 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 da. And scientists have only been able to get this liquid to go so far. And they all agree that this will never be solved by a 15-year-old boy.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I don't know if you two know this, but one of my favorite titles of all time is Think Tank from Matt Hawkins over at Top Cow. And he used to put what he called in the back matter, his like science class. And it's so fantastical, the cutting edge technology that he would put in that book. But a lot of it was... almost 90% of it was based on like real stuff, like, you know, invisible shields and like thought readers and things like that. It's just amazing. And I think you can learn so much. And being that this is focused for a younger audience, I think there's a real hunger for that for kids that love science and love comics.
So funny that you bring up Think Tank, because I edited that book for about a year and I used to be in charge of compiling and spell checking that back matter. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Although I think we're going for a slightly different audience. So yes, Think Tank for sure. Can exist compatibly with science.
I've read Think Tank. That's my contribution.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Tamsin. You mentioned Hogwarts, Harry Potter. And we talked about her being a kind of a character with a legacy of science. Any other similarities with Harry Potter or any other characters? I'm trying to get a feel for kind of the tone you're going for with her. Is she searching for her place in the world? Is it all about getting revenge because of what happened with her father? Like, what can you tell us about the main character?
It's all about her searching for her place in the world.
I think the comparison to the character of Harry Potter is very apt.
Yeah.
It's learning who you are in the absence of your parents.
She's not villainous. Like, she doesn't have a malicious tone. She's very like, I've been tasked with doing this thing. I don't know exactly how I'm going to do it, but I've been told by somebody that I trust to do it. So I'm going to try to figure it out. And again, that's why she's also very impressionable. So when she gets to the science school, she's like, oh, this is cool. But then my roommate's cute. But then this guy's really, the headmaster's really nice to me. And Dad, are you sure? And I don't know.
I don't know if we said this or not, but I'll take the opportunity to say it here. Tamsin is driven not only by, you know, the trauma that comes along with losing a parent, but her father was a real smart science guy and downloaded his consciousness into her super cool glasses. So she actually sees a projection of him and he can see everything that she's doing. And he's leading her on this quest, but he can also see like her interactions with her cute roommate, Garen, which is not what you want your dad to see when you're 14.
And the thing is, too, is that her father actually died when she was 3. So she never knew her father. The only father she has known is this holographic version of her father that has sort of existed around her. So it's another thing of like, can she really trust that this hologram actually acts like her dad
and has her best interests in mind?
Wait, so she's kind of wearing a super futuristic version of Google Glass. Can she like ask her dad, like, what's the molecular weight of like such and such? And he has it.
Yes. And her, and her dad actually helps her get ahead in some of the classes, specifically with the intentions of that she gets closer and closer to the headmaster who he wants her to take down.
Oh, that is so, it's like Star Trek where they could just computer, tell me blah, 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 do these calculations. That's so amazing.
Exactly. And as you know, Jason, and some of your listeners might know, Jason and I are huge Star Trek fans. So we definitely took inspiration from some of their technology and storytelling tropes.
Yeah, it sounds like you're mashing up like all these favorite things. Harry Potter, Star Trek, comics, like young adults trying to find their place in the world. It sounds amazing. Let's talk about your artist on the series. You said you had a little trouble, some false starts. Who did you eventually?
Did we wound up very fortunately? We have an amazing illustrator from Portland named Des Pittman. We actually tabled next to her and her husband Jason at Wizard World Portland earlier this year, and we knew we hit it off. They were amazing booth mates. We knew we wanted to collab on something. So when we were doing another go around looking for someone to help us work on science, Des came to mind immediately, and we're very fortunate that she had the time in her schedule to fit us in, and she was interested and she thought it was cool. She's working for a very reasonable rate. And one of the main reasons that we are doing the Kickstarter is to pay her, because drawing a comic book is a full-time job, and we want her to be able to focus as much of her time and talent on it as possible. So Jason and I aren't actually getting paid for creating or writing this. Our publisher,
just like Jupiter Jet.
Yep. Just like Jupiter Jet. Our publisher is not being paid. Everything that we're raising is going to make sure that this book looks as good, is colored as good, and is lettered as well as humanly possible. And Des has been a great collaborator.
Wow, that's a big sacrifice for you guys, and it really shows your dedication to this story. Like, it's more important to get the story out there than to worry about you guys making a wage. But don't sell yourself short.
Sometimes that's how, you know, independent comics, while they're amazing, and you do have the freedom that we talked about earlier. You know, we're a bit autonomous on this. We can kind of do whatever we want, I'm sure, as long as nothing horrible happens. But we are, you know, you kind of have to put up or shut up at some point, because the publisher isn't putting up money on the front. And creating IP and telling stories is really important to Jason and I. So, and that sounds very highfalutin.
No.
We just like making comics.
Yeah, and obviously, as you both know, we've had this conversation before. Nobody says, I want to get rich. Let me become a comic creator.
I think people say that, but then they get into it and then they're like, oh, that's never going to happen.
Yeah, those are the people that disappear after just a couple months.
Yeah, I mean, we all be so lucky to grow up to be Mark Miller someday.
Yes, exactly. Can you talk a little bit about the world building? Did you lean heavily on Des for that? Or did you have an idea of like the tone and the look of the school? Or was it something you went back and forth with her? Or did you just say, we trust you, Des, go for it?
We kind of always knew what the idea of the school would be. We literally write about it in the script. We say that it's, imagine Starfleet Academy mixed with NORAD. It is kind of the idea. So we wanted it to be a building that like looks weird yet could exist in this world. And that's where the design for it came up. And yeah, like walking around the hallways, like we want you to see mysterious stuff, but again, we want it to have like a scientific militaristic tone, but yet like, yeah, a mix of Starfleet yet with a mix of, I mean, I'm going to say Stargate.
Yeah. And in spite of that, Jason and I always do come into these things. And because there's two of us, we can brainstorm more. We can go down those rabbit holes a little more. We do come in with a strong sense of what we think we want, but we're always willing to defer to an artist or let them try something else because, you know, we've hired them for their particular set of skills.
Right.
And I think Des did a great job.
So did you have the same kind of back and forth with her for the character designs as well? Like you had a specific look, but then there was a little kind of space, I guess, for her to put her own stamp on it as well?
Yeah, she came in at an interesting point because we'd had several people do character designs previously.
And she got to look at all the previous designs.
and sort of lift from that what she, you know, what inspired her. But of course, you know, you don't hire someone because you want them to copy something. Right. We wanted it to be in her style, in her voice. I think she changed some of the clothing and things like
that. She's mainly responsible for the look of Tamsin's hollow glasses where her dad lives, more so than any other artist.
And the stats, because that wasn't something that we had introduced until we got Dez. So she designed the stats entirely and killed it on the first design, which was absolutely amazing. But also we do have a pretty, diverse cast on this. So when we were writing character breakdowns, we had, I guess, a specific type in mind, if not a specific look for most of the characters.
Wow. That's awesome. I can't wait to see what it looks like. Let's shift gears here and remind the listeners, about how Kickstarter works. Cause I always am surprised there are still people that don't realize that, you know, you don't pledge your money or pick your tier and the money doesn't come out right away, right? It only goes through if the project is funded, which is why, you know, when you do these campaigns, it's important to let people know you've got to pledge off. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen a Kickstarter take off in the beginning, but then it kind of tapers out and it, you know, ends up 80%. So
they all taper off. They all do. Yeah, that.
They all plateau. Pledge early, pledge often. Yeah, for sure.
The best thing is that if you Kickstarter, again, you're helping people that do not have the funds make a project or of some kind. It can be comics of any kind. You're making, but they don't have the money or the funds to happen. Most of the time on Kickstarter, the way I like to think about it is that you're basically pre-ordering the thing, especially with our book with science. You are basically pre-ordering the book. You're pre-ordering a signed book. We're pre-ordering the book with a print, all kinds of stuff like that.
And this is the only place we can guarantee that you will ever get this book. It's not going, as far as we know, right now, at the time of this recording, it's not going through Diamond. It's not going through traditional comic shops, yep, unless a shop buys our retailer package, which we do have.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the only / best way to get science.
And again, your money directly goes to make this comic happen. Like there's no extra money that comes back to make sure that we go to a vacation in Hawaii. I wish there was, but that money does not exist. It goes straight into the pages and straight into printing the book and doing stuff like that. So it's just think about pre-ordering awesome things that can only, and again, if we don't hit our goal, then you're never charged and, you know, don't worry about it.
Yeah. And the amazing thing about Kickstarter is it is egalitarian in that way. You know, if people don't want it, the book won't get made. And we want it, and we hope that everyone else wants it as well.
Yeah, can you say what the total amount is? It's a pretty modest amount, right?
It's we're looking for $12,300, which is actually less than what it will actually take to pay our artists for every page, pay our letterer for every page, pay our colors for every page, print the book, and ship every book out to everyone that would buy it. It's actually less than that because we are actually fronting some of this money up to our own. So comics are expensive, kids, but that's a very modest amount, I think.
Yeah, but it's we try to be realistic with what we're asking for. We're not asking for $100,000 because we don't need it. We just want to make the book.
But if you want the gold foiled science hardcover, please let us know and we'll start that project in December.
Yeah, or if you want Jason and I to come to your house, $100,000 is all it takes.
Now, do we know the length of the book? It's all going to be one volume?
Yes, it's a graphic novel. It's 80 pages of story with 10 pages of extra bonus material.
I will say this too, because we are creative types who like to run down rabbit holes. If people like it and if it goes well, we would love to do a volume two. So,
also, if the campaign goes well, I guarantee you one of our very first stretch rewards is going to be adding more pages to the book, which just means more content.
Yeah.
Because to be honest with you, if the campaign goes really well, I guarantee you Ashley and I are going to be like, you know what? That means we can add some more splash pages, my friends.
That's right. Yeah. Because you make, as a creator-owned organization, you make your choices based on printing costs. So if we do really well, then we can literally afford to tell more story because we clearly have no end of ideas.
That's awesome. That's such a great stretch goal. I see so many times, and there's not that there's anything wrong with this, but they'll do like stickers or a gold foil stamp on the cover or something like that. But again, it goes to show your passion as storytellers that the first thing you would do if it does well and you get to hit stretch goals is just add more to the story.
Well, I mean, we've already talked about that. I mean, because one of the very first stretch rewards, two or three stretch rewards down the road for Jupiter Jet we did was we added a backup. We added 10 pages of a backup, which got to see you get to see the origin of
her jetpack
basically, and you get to see her parents, which was a big mystery. And I actually love that we got to do that. For this one, we've talked about, we don't quite know the story we would go. We have joked around about showing the secret life of the stats, like what happens with them when no one's looking, or also showing like maybe the cavern underneath the school that they all live in.
And one of her teachers might not be human, and maybe we'll go into that. That might be a volume two idea.
Oh, that's awesome. What are some of the other tiers? You mentioned prints or having things signed. What are some of the tiers that that are available?
So if you get the book, our basic level is $25. It gets you a physical copy of the book. And if you get a copy of the book on this campaign, we sign it. No matter what level you get it at, well, $25 is the smallest level, but you're going to get the book signed. But I actually think some of our coolest rewards is we have a perk where you can get yourself drawn into a cameo in the book as a teacher, as a student.
Yep.
There are prints. We have prints by Ryan Sands, who is Jeffrey Wilder on The Runaways. He's the evil dad of the Pride.
And he's also a cover artist for Marvel Comics.
And we also have Brent Schoonover, who drew a lot of Captain Marvel and Ant-Man and the Wasp for Marvel. He did a print for us. But my favorite awards, and they're a little bit pricier because I think they're just so invaluable. And they're something that 3 or 4 years ago, I would have bought every one of these because they're just so amazing. One of the benefits of what we do in podcasts is that we know a lot of comic book professionals, just like you, Jace. So every time we do a Kickstarter, we ask them, would you review scripts for people for Kickstarter awards? And most comic book professionals say yes.
Which is amazing.
Which is pretty awesome. And the big dog that we have this time is Mr. Batman, Mr. Miracle himself. Tom King is doing a script review for us.
Eisner winner.
Eisner winning several times over. Tom King is doing a script review for our Kickstarter project. He's only doing one review. I would be blown away if that doesn't go super fast. But we also have all other people. Cullen Bunn is doing script reviews for us, who writes X-Men Blue and The Sixth Gun, which is one of my favorite series of all time. Shea Fontana of DC Superhero Girls.
And Wonder Woman.
And then we even have Mitch Garrods, the artist. If you're an artist, he's doing portfolio reviews. And you can get those as perks. And when you get those perks, not only do you get those perks, people, professionals, look at your script, look at your art, but also you still get the book. You get the book. And the prints.
And it's really important to us to include those, not only because we have an opportunity, because we do know some of these people, but because we started out as fans and it was opportunities like this that allowed us to hone our craft and to get better and to ultimately make comics. And we want as many people who are supporting us to be making comics one day, and we want to buy their comics as well.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, for me, I think getting that kind of expertise, those kind of notes from like Tom or Colin or Mitch would just be priceless. Like, they're invaluable, I think. And the fact that you would get that access, I think that's a pretty good reward. And also you get to help us make our book. But the best reward is the pricier reward for our more refined fans. You know, for the small amount of $5,000, you get Ashley and I will fly to your house.
No, truly.
We will buy you dinner. and then I will bring my Blu-ray copy of Star Trek First Contact, my favorite Star Trek movie, and we will watch it together.
Someday someone's going to buy that reward, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, that's awesome. And yeah, those reward, I mean, okay, first of all, the fact that you're getting Eisner Award winners like Mitch Garrods or Tom King to help you to hone your craft and to give you advice that, as you said, Jason, is invaluable, right? But it's also, you're making a connection with some of the professionals and people that are at the top of the game right now. And you know, comics is a small industry, as you two know. And a lot of times it's about networking and getting your name out there and getting to know these people because, you know, even though it's such a small industry, everybody's pulling for everybody else. It's not like cutthroat and competitive the way, you know, some other things are, you know, Hollywood making movies or whatever. So it's not just getting advice and guidance from Colin and Tom and Mitch, but it's getting a chance to make their acquaintance, you know, and who knows what doors that could open up for you later on down the road. So yeah, I think that's amazing. And I'll just say one thing about that $5,000 reward. I have had dinner with Jason and Ashley. I have spent time with them, and it's always a highlight. We always have great conversations.
Thank you. Yeah, Jason's our good buddy, if you can't tell.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you're really super cool through all the emails, I might bring Wrath of Khan as well.
Khan! Oh, this is awesome. I really cannot wait to check out the book. I will be pledging first thing on Wednesday morning myself.
Thank you, man.
I just can't wait. Is there anything else that you two want to share with our listeners?
Oh man, that's such a big question. ScienceComicBook.com is the easiest way to get you directly to the comics, so you don't have to do any fancy Googling.
To the Kickstarter.
Yeah, well, it's where the comic lives right now, sure. As much of it as we have done. It's where you get to the, let me rephrase that, it's where you get to the pre-order, ScienceComicBook.com. Jason and I also do a podcast called Geek History Lesson, where we teach you everything you need to know about a character in about an hour. If you've never listened to that, that's fun.
Well, before we move to all the plugs, I mean, science is a story that we think is pretty unique. I don't think there is a sort of teenager-y Star Trek science fiction-y with real facts out there. And if you like Jupiter Jet and you like our podcast, you like any of our tone, then I guarantee you're going to like this. You're going to like our flavor, and you hear about our passion for comics. Everything we do is how much we love comic books, and we inject that into our comics. Like, I think when you read our comics, especially Jupiter Jet and our stuff in the If anthologies and Love is Love, you can feel that love pouring through, and science is the exact same thing. So if that doesn't convince you to buy science or help us pre-order or make this book, then I don't know what will. But again, if you're really good, I might bring Star Trek 3.
Well said. Well said, sir. So I will put a link to the Kickstarter, the science, in the show notes. We'll put a link to Geek History Lesson as well that you were talking about, Ashley. Anything else that any other places where our listeners should be going to get their fill of your work?
You can find, I do a weekly show on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Jawin, JAWIIN. It's called The Saturday Morning Show. And I just basically talk about nerd news every single week. And you know, you can also find me on Twitter at Jawin, JAWIIN, the same place. And, Ashley's on Twitter as well.
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at, Ashley V. Robinson. If you're in Los Angeles, come check out my play. I'll give you a comp ticket. Jason and Jay saw it. It's pretty great. And you can get Jupiter Jet on Amazon and through Walmart and Target. So it's pretty gettable. So consider getting it, man.
It's pretty jettable.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's also, if you're good, I might bring Star Trek TNG season 3.
Season 3 with the beard?
With the whole season. We might watch the whole season.
All 20.
Buckle up.
7 hours of television.
Straight through.
No bathroom breaks allowed.
No. There's no bathrooms on the Enterprise.
Only if you go to the bathroom Riker style, which is impossible.
We gotta mount it.
All right, listeners. Well, I hope you all get out there today as you hear this and pre-order your copy of Science, because
that's
it's
right.
Going to be amazing. And you'll be hearing a lot about it over the course of the Kickstarter. I'll be sure and keep you updated with the percentage, when it gets fully funded, all the stretch goals, all that kind of great stuff. So you'll be hearing a lot about it over the next 30 days, because I really believe in this book, and I believe in Jason and Ashley as creators. I think that they're both incredible storytellers, and I really appreciate the style and the tone of the stories they tell, because you know, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, you know, I have a 6, soon to be 7-year-old daughter, and there are a lot of comics that I can't necessarily share with her. You know, a lot of the stuff I grew up reading, superhero comics, Batman, Superman, that kind of stuff, it's tends to skew more toward an older audience these days. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I still enjoy that kind of stuff. But the fact that there's stories out there like Jupiter Jet and soon to be Science, she loves them. And it's a way I can share my love of comics with my daughter. So thank you too for that.
No, I love that, dude. That's exactly right, man. We don't want to talk down to adults, but we don't want to talk up to kids. Like, I love the 90s when you could hand an issue of any comic, Batman, Superman, X-Men, I mean, maybe not Wildcats, but any comic, and grandma, dad, and little girl could all read it. And that's what every one of our comics I want them to be.
And that's truly the greatest compliment that we could receive, is that people are sharing them with their children and with their friends and family. Mm-hmm. That's the best.
All right. Well, I really want to thank you two for joining me as always. Best luck with the Kickstarter, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Thank you for having us.
Always a pleasure. And if you're really good, I might bring Star Trek VI.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. The next show I'll be at is Comic-Con LA, coming up Halloween weekend in Los Angeles, California. So if you're going to be there, let me know. Always love to meet up with listeners, and I'll even hook you up with a free Comic Source lanyard. So quick reminder, everybody, get out there and pledge early for science from Jason Inman and Ashley B. Robinson. And once again, I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.